Hello, everybody. Welcome to Commercial Real Estate Bosses, where we interview badass investors who are crushing it in the commercial real estate space. I'm your host, Sarah Hoffman. And on today's call, we have Nico Iannelli of Insurio. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Sarah, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure and honor to be on here.
Absolutely. So I would love for you to share with our listeners about your story. So tell us your background and how did you get into doing what you do today?
Yeah, absolutely. Love to. And again, thank you for having me on. So for those that don't know me, my name is Nico Iannelli. I've been in insurance and risk management for going on 20 plus years. I had a background in doing commercial mortgages and financing for about a decade and then got caught up in the whole 2006-2 financial mix. So I made a lateral move into doing risk management and insurance. And for those that may be part of multifamily mindset and other networks, you might have heard the names of Lisa Parrish and Ryan Woolley and Tyler Devereaux. So Lisa, for those that haven't heard, she moved to North Carolina 15 plus years ago and bought a small property. And she went to her local State Farm agent, who I was good friends with. And when I made the move into insurance and risk management, I became known as the guy that if it had any hair on it or if it was difficult to do, I would get all the difficult stuff to get placed. So Lisa reached out and I did her first 20 unit that she did here. And it's been amazing to see her journey along the way and grow into thousands of units. And then me and Ryan and Tyler, when it came to North Carolina, really started, their portfolio started blowing up and growing and picking up 400 units, 200 units to like several thousand. So it was amazing to see that. And then also sharing that through their program, Multifamily Mindset. So I started not only managing theirs and as well as a lot of other investors and portfolios. And along the journey for the 15 years that I've been doing stuff with Lisa and Greg Parrish and seeing the boys grow up and get into the business. And I think Adam was on the podcast recently too.
Yes.
It's been great seeing everybody's journey. So that was kind of me continuing to give back. And I've been with a bunch of large firms, with Hub International, NFP, and lastly with Marsh & McLennan. So I was able to gain such a large amount of knowledge, not only in the marketplace as far as what insurance companies were able to do, but the varieties in scaling, whether it's a couple units to several thousands of units plus, and what we're able to do. So I'm able to share that with all different investors. Fast forward to today, after leaving Marsh & McLennan, left to go do outsourced risk management, essentially acting as the insurance and risk manager for select investors and negotiating with the brokers because I know what was available that was out there. And then that led me into launching Insurio because I knew we needed kind of like a digital platform where investors and others could kind of go to get information, as well as how do we streamline the whole process to get insurance on all these buildings? Because face it, we're all going through it. There's been a lot of changes. I want to say it's been going on for the last 20 quarters, but more so for 2023, it's become really challenging.
Absolutely. And so you mentioned Tyler and Ryan and those guys and Multifamily Mindset, which is a great group. That's where I learned myself. And my husband has known Tyler and Ryan for 18 years. They're definitely like not just mentors, but also great friends to us.
They're good, solid people. And they got a heart of gold on like a lot of us. We look at what our whys are. And I wear mine on my wrist. Yeah, I have a bracelet that says Impact. And inside of it, it's inscribed. It's the connection between our lives and the lives that we can change. And these guys went through a lot and their lives have changed. And we get fueled by helping others. Money's great. It solves a lot of problems, but seeing others being successful, that's really where I know I thrive, and as well as those guys and several others.
Absolutely. And so that kind of takes me into my next question here, because I do work with a lot of new investors that are trying to get their first deal done. And a lot of them are just reaching out to different insurance brokers, trying to get quotes, and they're finding it very difficult. They either won't respond, or I don't know what the issue is. Maybe you have some insight as to why is it so difficult to get insurance brokers these days to help you and get insurance for your multifamily properties?
Yeah. And great question. This is a conversation that I have with many. Understanding that commercial real estate is different than the Geico commercials that we're seeing. It's not a commodity. You can't make a call and save 10 or 15%. We're looking at properties and there's a lot of different plays that go into it. There's risk as far as with the residents, falls, fires, and they do have them. You know, we have health and safety risk as far as if there's mold, asbestos in the buildings. We have a future responsibility, not only to our investors, but also for the tenants. We want them to feel comfortable and safe. And for those that have been in the business, we know when the residents feel like they're home. They take care of our properties, which then in turn helps us. So it's a win-win for everybody. So when you're looking at and doing the initial underwriting and going through everything, one, so you can't just pick up the phone and call somebody, go online, do a couple of clicks, and you're going to get a quote. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not your car. It's not your home. And then also the market segment, there's only so many carriers, which are insurance companies, that will even do habitational. And like habitational are the apartment buildings that we're looking at. And for those that might be looking at certain niches, which is like maybe your B or C properties that are aged or vintage, we're looking 70s, 80s, 90s construction. And we're always looking for properties that they're in emerging markets. The properties have been mismanaged or they haven't been given the love that they need. And so we can do the value add to these, which will help increase the appreciation with it. But, and there's a lot of those properties that are out there. With that, you can't just call up and get a quote. And also, it's not something that you can just do online because the underwriters, especially with all the properties that are out there, and just say that if there's about a dozen insurance companies that are entertaining these right now, one of the things that we're facing, rates are going up, okay? And the reason why the rates have been going up is, one, obviously, we're all facing going through what inflation, but also there's been so many losses over the years. And we look at every year, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the flooding, everything that happens, we're now looking at losses that cost billions of dollars, where we look back 5-10 years ago, there were several millions up there, but now we're exceeding $1 billion plus. When there's fires that are occurring and everything else, there's not enough money out there that are being collected for insurance dollars, which force everything going up. And then we're looking at replacement costs. All that stuff is going up there. And even the insurance companies have to get what's called reinsurance. And we saw a significant increase in that in January. So taking all these things into play, it's a select few that really understand habitational multifamily properties. So one, I think I encourage everybody, when you reach out to, whether it's your local insurance agent or broker that's there, ask them questions if they actually understand what the marketplace, what it's going into. The other thing that's different with commercial insurance versus your home and auto is you got to pick your broker. Your broker works on your behalf to really send it out to the marketplace, to the different insurance carriers, and working for you. So it's like you pick one attorney, you pick one SEC attorney, you pick one accountant, all that. You don't call everybody in the book. So you want to build up those relationships, because with commercial insurance on our end, it's first in. So meaning if I send something out to the insurance carriers that I do a lot of stuff with, nobody else can get a quote because the underwriters don't want to work with multiple people because everything that they're putting, that they're getting involved with, they're spending time on it. A lot of it is because of relationships, and they don't want to do things just to do things. They've seen a lot of these properties. The underwriters, if they've been to different companies, at one point or another, I think every insurance company has seen every single habitational property that's out there. And we've seen it through the years too. Some underwriters, when they move to different companies, these things are coming up and they're sharing things that might have happened 5-10 years ago on them. So anybody that's new, definitely find somebody that is a professional, understands what markets, what carriers are they able to go to for you. And a lot of times, like we can't send anything out to get a firm quote and into underwriting until the LOA is signed. Usually their due diligence is done, because when you send it out, there's things that you need to know. You need to know this type of construction, whether it's frame. In parts in the South, we start seeing what's called joist and masonry, the concrete walls with wood truss. We have steel buildings. We need to know when the electrical was updated, if there's aluminum wiring in it or not, roofs. All these things go into play, as well as the losses. If you're doing your initial underwriting on it, you don't have any of that info. So I can't tell you, Sierra, how many times that somebody sent over a quote, and it might be a new student that's coming in, and it's their first piece that they're going to be a GP on. And so they go off on their own and get a quote back. And we're looking at it going, all right, so whoever, if you put junk in, you're going to get junk out, right? So if they're going to put in that it's a masonry, it's a brick concrete building that was built in 2000 with sprinklers on it, you are absolutely going to get a much better rate than the 1969 aluminum wiring with two fire losses. That's all wood that the property really is. So there's a big variance there. So typically my rule of thumb is definitely look over the financials, look at the T12, the OM. I ignore the numbers that are on there because we know a lot of times from experience that the OM doesn't really match up. But when you look at the financials, look at the T12, look at the last few months on what was reported from the seller for the insurance. And I usually take that number and pad it by 20 to 35%. That gives, in most markets, what we're seeing as far as rates going up. Now, when we're looking at like the Southeast or if we're in Texas, like Houston, Florida, New Orleans, we're seeing rates going up 200%. It varies down there a lot. But typically, that 30% is just my rule of thumb. And the reason for that, one, the increase. Two, we don't know what the seller has. We don't know the limits of insurance that they have. We don't know if it's part of a larger portfolio and what kind of deductible. I mean, they might have $100,000 or $250,000 or $1 million plus deductible, which on the larger portfolios we do because we're able to self-insure it. But if you're starting off and you're doing an agency loan through Fannie or Freddie, they're going to cap you. They're going to max you out at about $25,000 or $50,000. Right. So like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're going to max you out at $25,000 or $50,000. So that's going to be a big increase as far as where the premiums can be. And I've had this conversation with Ryan Tyler several times looking at it, and the seller was paying this. The seller was underinsuring the properties. We're missing three buildings. Like, we can't pick and choose what we want to insure and not insure. So we saw that a few times. So the big thing is really making sure that we're not overinsuring or underinsuring the properties. That's been another big problem in the marketplace, why rates have gone up. There's a lot of properties that have been undervalued, that there's not enough money there to do the replacement cost. So the property is underinsured. So we take time going through, doing the schedule of values to make sure that we have adequate insurance there. And listen, we can have enough money in the bucket to say if the building burns down, and they do happen. And if you haven't heard stories, there's been times where 2 days before Christmas, I'm going through a building that burnt down that they bought 2 days before because something happened. So we want to make sure that there's enough money that's there. But when we're underwriting these loans too, we're looking all about the cash flow. So keep in mind, if we have a building that's down, it may take 12 months, 18 months to rebuild it, but we still have the note from the lenders, right? We still have all the things to do. So I'm really focusing on the cash flow, like the loss of rents, which is part of the policy that nobody really talks about it. For me, that's the most important because we want to be able to make sure that we have revenue coming in so we continue paying our expenses. Yeah. So the big thing is just have everybody talk around. You're not going to get solid numbers. We can get ballparks, but you won't get anything really solid until you have the due diligence and you submit a full package out.
Absolutely. That makes sense. So you mentioned, you know, how we can underwrite these deals. Basically, we want to increase whatever the seller's cost is, increase that by 20 to 30% for our underwriting. I think that's a big key for us because, you know, as investors, a lot of times it's hard to estimate right now with the cost of insurance going up so quickly. Like you said, 200%. It's just, we want to make sure that we have that insurance cost pretty close to accurate, because once we get under contract and we close on the deal and we have the LOA accepted, at that point,
you're in.
We need to make sure our numbers are good and we're getting those returns that we need for our investors and we're able to create cash flow.
Yeah. And I would just say there's a word of advice too. So when we go through that, and depending on the market, so not everywhere across the country, it's going up 200%. But like, again, down in Houston, we're seeing large increases, and depends if they're on an old program, grandfathered in or not, but we'll see increases there. But you want to have that ballpark, and doing that cushion helps. And I can say when you're doing the numbers, like saving a dollar or two on insurance shouldn't be the deal maker with it. So really look at it. The givens are insurance going to keep going up. Taxes are going to keep going up on the property. Follow the program, do your underwriting on there. I'd rather be conservative and be a little bit higher. And if it comes in lower, great. We don't want it the other way where You know, back in the day, I remember the rule of thumb was $250 a door. Those days are long gone, because when I start seeing $2,000 a door when we're in Texas, it varies so much. And it's really based upon square footage and the cost per million that we need in the marketplace. Yeah.
I heard this from a property manager. He wasn't an insurance broker, so I just want to verify this information, see if it's true or not. But he said south of the I-10, insurance costs are way higher.
Definitely like Texas, Oklahoma, like that whole area.
He said Houston, and he even said it was across the whole country, but specifically he was referring to Houston, and he said pretty much across the country, south of the I-10, it's like a rule, he said.
Yeah, it's not even such as a rule. When we look at Houston, we look at New Orleans, those, especially in for 2023, those are the areas seeing the largest increases. And it's because of, again, it was mild last year for 2022 as far as hurricanes, but we also had one of the costliest or the most expensive storm come through. The first time in 35 years that it broke all the records as far as how much had to get paid out. And even things like flood in those areas, they've seen humongous increases. So yeah, Houston's a high dollar. And why everything's been going up, the capacity, the amount of insurance that's available, the carriers of the markets that were able to offer terms, we're seeing them pull back. So we have less capacity on what we can insure. It's not uncommon in my world when we're looking at some of these portfolios that we have several different insurance companies kind of laddering or stacking, right? So we might be able to get first $5 million from one, $2 million, $3 million. We need the $5 million, and so we're getting coverage from different people to do it. So they want to spread it out. But when we look at areas like Houston, and if you want to use south of it, it is significantly more. So you got to factor it in. We're also looking at an area where there's a lot of older properties. There's some great deals out there because we're still seeing people picking them up, but you just have to underwrite for them and be prepared. The deductibles have been going up.
Absolutely. And so why is it that the replacement costs, it's showing up as more than the purchase price of the property?
Yeah. So understand, so you're not insuring the ground, right? So we can't replace the dirt. But if we bought a property today and we want to get it for the lowest amount of square foot we could get it for, right? It doesn't mean that we can rebuild that tomorrow. But we look at how much insurance we need to do. It's based upon what the replacement costs. And there's engineering software that we use and all the insurance carriers do. When you get your appraisal, which is usually right before, closer to when you get to closing, so you can see it on there. And based upon the square footage, the make, the composition, what we have, the type of shingles, this is how much it would cost a square foot. And we've been seeing that go up as labor costs, material, inflation, all this stuff has been going up. Yeah, so folks were insuring properties for $70, $80, maybe $90 a square foot. I'm sorry, but you can't rebuild it. So that's $70, $80, $90. We're now seeing $120, $135, $150. In certain parts of the country, like even on the West Coast, we're seeing $150 to $200, which is, again, it's not uncommon. It's the cost of material. So we're just looking that, if a property were burned down tomorrow, how do we indemnify or bring ourselves whole to rebuild that today? So that's how they're coming up with the replacement costs with it. And some of the lenders, sometimes they want you to overinsure the property. And we've had to negotiate with them and have them push back and let them understand and show the documentation on this is why we're insuring it for this amount. And we feel totally comfortable because we have the data to prove it. And there's also times where the lenders, they want you to insure less because they only want to cover maybe the amount that they're financing. So if you're buying a $20 million property and just say you've got 50% equity in it, so they only want coverage for $10 million, I'm sorry, but you're still got $20 million worth of property. So if something burns down, like you need the coverage for it. So that's when we start looking at really, we have adequate insurance for those, but we have been seeing the replacement costs going up, and more so now we're pushing back on those from what the carrier wants, because they think everything is custom built and we got marble countertops and it's really, we got pergo down and we're getting these in large quantities. We're able to do it. And not that like their builders are economic grade on it. The CapEx that we're doing, it's great material that's being done, but we want to have it in line to really what it's costing.
All right, Nico. So I want to switch gears a little bit here and go through maybe a deal, one of those hairy deals that you described that you helped a client get through and was able to close on something or provide insurance for a deal that maybe other people couldn't even do?
Just trying to narrow that down. Like I mentioned a story earlier on getting one where we didn't have the true history on it and somebody brought it in and it wasn't rated correctly. But specifically like in the Texas market, when we're looking at those, and we had some times where rates were going up and we had to get things done, or initially we underwrote one piece of it, I think about 2 years ago. So I keep a constant eye on the marketplace on what's going on. And there was a couple of insurance programs where folks were, they're putting every type of portfolio, habitational property in there. And the rates were very good. Like, hey, like if you can get it done, you will save some money on it. But watching what was going on, like with the reinsurance, it kept going up. A lot of these programs, even with the property management companies, and some of them are great, nobody's looking at, hey, there's $100 million worth of properties on it, or, and this is how much the deductible is. And if something happens, like there's not enough money for like us to get paid on one property when somebody owns like 25% of the allocation that's there. We looked at those, but with those other programs, I was keeping an eye on it. I'm like, we got to prepare. So when we did the initial underwriting, we started padding it even more just for the worst case, because I knew when that master program was going to renew, and we're talking about thousands of properties were with this company or this program. And I knew the renewal was coming, and I had friends that were in the wholesale space, and I was hearing some rumbling going on. I'm like, this program's going to blow up. And coming back from being in banking for years, like I've been through it. So you start seeing certain signs. And then, so we prepare for it. And sure enough, I think that was in March or May. And all of a sudden, everybody gets noticed, everybody that's on that program, they now have 60 days to go out to go get it replaced. So we're already talking about in an environment where Texas, where insurance rates are going up, there's limited capacity on who wants to, you know, play in that space. And now you got thousands of people. So we start looking at supply and demand, rates start shooting up even more because everybody's picking and choosing. Thankfully, we were able to foresee that, get it locked in. We had it in underwriting. And we had it set. And even with that program, we had to have multiple insurance companies participate on there. But that's just an example that if we went on the lower end and would be anticipating to participate based on historically on what people were paying, we were all in at that point. I mean, you can't walk away. They would have lost money in turn where, you know, we were able to get it done. They didn't initially like seeing how much the price of door was, which if we look at it a year or two later, it's low compared to where it's at now, but it's just having that foresight. We were able to get that done on time. We didn't have to do an extension. So that was just being able to understand the marketplace and really like where it's going.
All right, Nico, thank you so much for being on the show today. Now, what is the process if someone wants to connect with you and just learn more about how they can work with you and the insurance you provide?
Yeah, if anybody wants to reach out, especially if in a program, I'd love to be a resource. They can reach out to me. I got a new line set up. It's 877-87-MYRIO. So MYRIO for Insurio. And then like my email, they can do it. I try to get back to everybody as soon as I can. I have clients all over different time zones. I might be on the East Coast. I have plenty of clients on the West Coast. So my hours are sporadic. I'll get back. I can help walk you through the process. And even if you work with somebody now and you just want some guidance, happy to do it.
All right. Thank you, Nico. And thanks, everybody, for tuning into today's episode. If you guys enjoyed today's show, please write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Every review helps us to reach more and more people looking to get involved in commercial real estate. If you're looking to level up your investment game, join the Commercial Real Estate Bosses community. It's completely free, and inside you will get access to our Passive Investing 101 Masterclass, as well as regular live trainings where you can ask questions and access to industry professionals and like-minded investors. Join for free today by going to crebosses.com/join. That's crebosses.com/join. Or click on the link below and I'll see you inside.